It is time to bring in our friends, Marcy and David, from theberkshireedge.com, with the Berkshire Edge on air, theberkshireedge.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we say good morning to David and Marcy. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
You know, Marcy sounds like she's in another room there.
She's working her way. I think she's working her way to the area.
All right. Well, we start off, and I'll tell you what. You had some kind of bad week in South County.
Oh, we did. Oh, my God. I don't ever remember a week like this.
You know, when the first story broke, and I knew, Joe and I talked about it off air, when we first reported the fire and I saw the district attorney was involved, I looked at Joe and so I said, you know, I just got a horrible feeling that this is a murder-suicide.
Yeah,
and what?
You're right.
Just a, I mean, but it wasn't only that. You had other things. I mean, it was just plain a bad news week.
Oh, well, you know, it started off, I think it was Wednesday, that either Tuesday or Wednesday, that we learned that there was a beautiful young woman who was a resident of Sheffield,
yes,
and also the niece of Ralph Nader, who lives in Connecticut, was killed in the crash of the Ethiopian flight. And so, you know, that news started to circulate, and, you know, and we were able to get a picture of her and some information about who she was, and she was really, you know, such a promising young woman, well-educated and from a family that really does nothing but try to make the world better. Her parents are both very involved in social service and social betterment agencies, and she was had studied international health and was working on improving health in African countries, and so, you know, she was killed. And then the very next day, we, you know, there was this fire. David can tell you a little bit more. There was this fire in which, you know, it seemed like a family of five was killed, but within a day we realized that the father had killed his wife and and his three children, and so it was a murder-suicide in Sheffield, also the same town where this young woman had lived. Then, I'm doing all the talking, but then there was a fire in Pittsfield, yeah, in which another family was killed, and then there was a fire where, luckily, family was not killed. But the home of a well-known couple, a veterinarian and a farmer, their house was burned down, luckily. And the interesting thing about all three of these fires is that they each involved sets of twins. There are twin children in each one of these families. Not that we see any connection, but it was just kind of interesting.
Okay,
so it was a terrible week.
That fire
in Southfield
was interesting because the fire department managed, thank gosh, because it did catch on fire, that to save the church, which was right next to it.
Yes, right.
And also, right, from the fire in Southfield, there was a fire 2 weeks prior, and so they were living elsewhere.
And the family had moved across the street to another house. And then the whole house went down.
Unbelievable.
And it's not clear. I think, is that right, David? It's not clear what happened in that fire in Southfield?
No. Well, I haven't heard any. We haven't learned what the cause was or exactly. But it was a disaster for them. That's for sure.
To cap off all that, let's talk about the memorial gathering of family and friends which will be held in remembrance of Samuel.
Yes, and that's going to happen this Saturday in
At 1:30
in Sheffield.
Well, it's at her
parents' barn, right.
Yeah, at her parents' barn.
Right.
Hey, you know, I want you guys to know I was up in Great Barrington yesterday, and I tried to run into a friend that wasn't there, and I was right across the street from Theory Wellness. And, and I have to tell you, I looked over there, and there were only like 8 people in line. So I went over, and I got a little I got a little tour of the place, as a matter of fact. And it really is well run, I can say. They've got security outside the front door, security inside the front door. And one thing I noticed when I was there, all the license plates. You had New Jersey, you had New York, you had Connecticut. There was even, and this is no lie, a Vermont license plate. And all the cars were very nice cars. And you got inside, and the people that I saw inside were all, I want to say, 35 to 60 years old, well-dressed, all there purchasing marijuana. And the only young kids that were there were the kids behind the counter. There's a lot of people that are employed by Theory Wellness, I can tell you this.
Yeah.
But it is really a well-run operation, and I just I was amazed when I saw it. But there was only like 6 or 8 people in line.
A slow day.
But
the people come in on weekends and so forth if they're coming from all over.
But here's the interesting thing. I was, and it was explained to me, when you look at the purchase price for marijuana, after you look at that purchase price, and that Great Barrington gets a chunk of it. There's like 3 different tax lines after that. They go to 3 different places, and the owner explained to me that adds about 20 to 22% to what you think your purchase price is.
Well, people who have they know what the VAT is, so they're just used to paying.
Yeah, it's like a VAT, right?
But anyway, I thought you guys would like to know that it was a. It was a great time because someone else had gotten. You guys had been there through it.
What I want to know is, what did you buy?
Didn't buy anything.
Oh, come on.
No,
tell us.
I couldn't afford it, to be honest with you.
Forgetting the fact that you're on the complication is that it requires a tremendous amount of cash. It's a cash business.
That's another thing that was told to me. Yeah, it's no credit cards. You can use a debit card or cash.
So the long short is,
I don't have $200 or $300 cash to spend on marijuana. I don't have it to spend on anything.
So it just it's just a really interesting in quotes. It's an interesting business model. It's going to be
it's
very much like sports betting.
You know, it's just that because banks are federally chartered, and marijuana is illegal on the federal level, the banks won't handle their business.
I understand.
It's amazing.
So that's why it's an all cash business.
But
I don't know what
all I can tell you is their competition better be as organized as they are. They must have millions of dollars behind them.
But the competition is going to be whatever the competition is going to have similar parameters, right? Mm. Like they're going to have to.
That's right.
So
well, there's going to be I think 5 altogether in the Great Barrington area. In fact, one very close to you, Marshall.
In Sheffield.
Yeah. You can just, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump.
Like I say, the day I have $100 to $300 to spend on marijuana is the day that I'll go out and buy a bottle of Johnny Walker Black Label. I'm past that. All right, let's go on to the next story.
I don't know if David put this on the list, but The Edge sponsored a very interesting panel discussion that took place at the Mahaley Theater last Wednesday night. The topic was called "Pot Is Here, Now What?" The panelists included a local, a Great Barrington Select Board member, the Chief of Police of Great Barrington, a police officer from Sheffield who also works in the school, who's also a licensed nurse and works in the schools, a doctor who treats addiction, and there was There was one other person. The DA was supposed to be there, but
she was preoccupied with these other issues.
With the fire, and there was one other person. But anyway, it was a very interesting. There was a man who works at the Railroad Street Youth Project. who knows young people in town.
And
you know, the discussion was, what do we do? I mean, it's very clear, you know, that you have to be 21 in order to buy at Theory Wellness. You can't, so kids can't go in there.
I think it's set up a lot like the sale of alcohol, but but much more stricter once you're in there. I mean, but what is amazing is that the conversations that I was told, people ask, it's not like the old days where you got marijuana. You got marijuana that can make you feel happy, that puts you to sleep. They got all these different.
Yeah, they have all kinds, and edibles as well.
Yeah, I'm amazed that I said to him, it's amazing how this industry has all this. It's like going to a soda store and selecting your different types of sodas. Honest to God.
Yeah, right. Well, it's interesting, and you know, so far we haven't had any problems here in town. I mean, no car crashes from somebody who's under the influence, although. No, those are the issues that were talked about. You know, there is no test.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have breathalyzers for marijuana. So, you know, how does the police know if somebody's driving erratically?
Well, all they have to look and see if there's any McDonald's bag next to them. I'll tell you. I want to move
on. The other sign would be if the car is actually hovering above the pavement.
Well, also, I just remember from high school, you know, marijuana smells, whether it's lit or not.
Yeah.
Whether it's lit or not, it smells.
Well, didn't you mention that?
Yeah.
About being in...
In there, the smell that when you're in there is amazing. It's enough to almost get you high. Well, me anyways, because
no, really,
but it's yeah. But you can because what they do is they open up the canister for people to smell and it really is. It was amazing. But this wasn't on your list, so I'll go on.
No. But it's it doesn't matter. We want interesting conversations. So
let's go on to the select board in Great Barrington interviewing three candidates to. You've got the town manager who's outgoing. How long has the town manager been there?
She's been there 3 years.
Oh, I thought, yeah, not that long, yeah.
And she's been, you know, the town has been, I think, pretty effectively run during her tenure. But they are, she's...
she resigned.
She's resigning, and they've been looking around for someone to replace her. And they had come down to three finalists, and so they'll soon be making a decision on one of these. One of them is a former health officer, an employee of the town, Mark Prohensky, who knows the town well and was hired as a health officer. So. And then had gone off to work as a town administrator in another town. So he's maybe coming back home, you might say.
Right, but then we have one who is who comes from a town in the Pioneer Valley, in Waitley, and he's been head of a consulting firm called Pioneering Strategies, and then we have a third person who is, who's the third one?
Town manager in Dalton.
In Dalton, which is a town roughly the same size as
Great Barrington, just to the east of Pittsfield.
Right.
Yeah.
I know Dalton
so
well.
There are three experienced people.
Well, it's too bad because I know it, that the woman who was there... Before she was there, the town manager was basically released of his duties, I do believe.
Right.
And she, it seemed like she was doing a really, really great job.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought so. And you know, she came from New York, where she was a planner in Bloomberg administration, and. So, you know, she came in and she has a couple of kids and they're in the school system and her husband works for the schools. And so it was a nice family situation. We'll see whether we get someone who is as embedded in the community as she was.
Now we can go next door to Egremont because it's the year of the woman still.
It is.
How about that? Yes.
You guys just aren't.
And I may point out that the three finalists for the Great Barrington Town Manager are three white men.
Yes.
Well, three middle-aged.
So that tells you the difference between Egremont and exactly. Great Barrington.
Well, so Egremont has two candidates.
Right.
For where the town elections are coming up. In May, and in Bercher County, all the towns have these town meetings, and in Egremont, there's an opening on the Board of Selectmen.
Right.
And so they will have two women are running for the post that will be vacant, and they already have a woman who's on the Board of Selectmen. So that means that two out of the three members of the Select Board are going to be women, which is, I think, maybe unique in Great Barrington. In the Berkshires. And maybe in the state. So Egremont is showing itself to be quite progressive,
but,
in spite of itself.
They're two very different candidates, but they are both, they're both embedded in the community. One runs with her husband, or she married into this farming family, but they are the last dairy farm left in Sheffield, and there used to be 19. So,
and they have very good maple syrup too.
Right. So that's Carla Turner, and the other candidate, Lucinda Vermeulen, runs the store Kenver on Route 23, which is a gorgeous store with outdoor athletic equipment and clothing, which she took over when her husband, Ken Vermeulen, died a few years ago. And she's also, she's been very involved in the community. She's been chair of the planning board for 3 years and very up on what's going on in the town and what the town needs. So it's going to be a very interesting race. Two very different candidates.
I used to know her.
Each with their own.
She was in radio sales, many, many years ago.
Lucinda?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, Ken's wife was. Maybe he had a second wife after her.
Maybe so, because she... he had a wife before that. But Lucinda was in retailing, and she had a very big job as an international retailer and buyer. I mean, she worked for a big chain of department stores called Carson Peary Scott, which doesn't exist anymore.
Well, I apologize for getting the current one mixed up with the former one.
but she, she has taken over this retail operation, and really the store is beautiful now. So,
well, speaking about beautiful, the vernal equinox.
Yeah,
that's today.
Yes, tonight.
5:58 p.m.
Oh, is that when? Oh, good.
Balance your eggs, boys and girls.
That's right. You can take an egg, and you can put it on any counter and stand it up on either end.
That's right.
You can, and it does work. It does work.
Right?
It does work.
5:58. What causes that?
Right around the time for the vernal equinox, you can stand an egg on its on either side. Stand, it'll stand up. It will, as long as the counter's not like on a 30-degree angle.
I was just going to say.
Causes what?
I have no idea.
No, I didn't know what Marcy said. What causes what? Why is it 5:58?
The egg to balance like that?
I have, at the equinox.
Why isn't it?
I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is years ago somebody told me that, and I mean years ago, and I went into Frog Alley when I lived in Kingston, New York, and I bought an egg. And I won about $45 or $50 that night.
Because you could do it.
Because everybody was amazed that you could stand an egg on its side. So anyways.
But only at that very second, right?
No, it's within a certain amount of time that you can do it. There's a certain amount of time that you can do it. I have no idea. It's probably all BS, but because It's been done for years. I think everybody just accepts it as being reality. But it does seem to make it much easier to do. But anyways, and I want to. We only have a minute or two left, and I want to go to your final story about a return to the Berkshires of a woman who pursued a career as an actor.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Michelle Joyner. That's a really lovely story about You Can Come Home Again is her title, and she. She's a great writer, and it's about how she left as a young woman, the Berkshires, and went to Los Angeles and developed quite a successful career, and now she's come back. And it's a lovely story, and so we recommend it.
Well, she came back. So well,
that's
Massachusetts
right.
is
back.
Not bad to come back to. Anybody who goes out.
No.
Why wouldn't you? If you were in LA, wouldn't you come back? I would come back.
If I lived in Connecticut, I wouldn't come back. Connecticut's different than Massachusetts.
Certainly, yes.
I'd stay in Los Angeles.
If I were in LA, I would much prefer to be here.
Yeah, I would too. So
I'll risk the earthquakes instead of coming back
to
Connecticut.
We'll just send you out there.
But anyways, but that's a nice story because it is always nice to come over.
Yeah, no, she talks about, you know, what she now sees with new eyes, you know, because she's been away for so long, which is always refreshing. It makes those of us who are here realize what we've got when somebody else reminds us.
And I can joke about it because I graduated high school in 1971. I started my radio career, and I was off and running. And I didn't come back to Connecticut until 1986.
Mm.
So I did. So I did come home again.
Mm-hmm. And then you stayed.
And then I stayed, yeah.
And then you stayed.
I stayed. That was it. My Roman days were over.
Here you are.
Here you are.
Your
planted.
Wandering days or roaming days.
Well, no,
anyway.
You can't say
it's interesting to have somebody, you know, who has chosen, had a lively career and finds, you know, that the Berkshires are every bit as interesting and nourishing as some very as a cityscape, you know. So it's an interesting story. And, you know, people always say, well, all the kids leave, you know, they never come back. And they lament the fact that there aren't as many jobs and so on and so forth. But here's a story of someone who, in fact, did come back.
and there are jobs, it's just nobody wants to fill them.
There was a story the other day, I think, is it just Connecticut that's looking for census takers? $21 an hour?
$21 an hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
$21 an hour.
And they're desperate.
So if you're looking for work, folks, apply to the Census Bureau.
Yeah, I make more money than I'm making here.
That's right. Believe you me.
Believe me, we've had that conversation.
All right. Well, all these stories and more, theberkshireedge.com, theberkshireedge.com. Let's hope next week brings much better news.
Let's hope.
All right, guys.
Can't be worse.
We'll speak to you next week.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Bye.
The Berkshire Edge on air, and as I said, you can find them at theberkshireedge.com.